The second reading this morning is from Acts 2, first verse 14a, and then going down to 36 to 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. This is the word of the Lord.
If you would keep your Bibles open and just turn a few more chapters, we have a second reading from the book of Acts today that I would like for us to read. Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 1 through verse 8. We're going to bookend these two scripture pieces today as we continue to look at the theme of transformation in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live lives no longer afraid or fearful, but live as God intends us to. Now, Acts chapter 6. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenistics complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among you yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to the task. While we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, I always laugh when I just stumble over these words, my apologies, Nicholas, and the proselyte of Antioch, and had these men stand before the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. This, too, is the word of the Lord. Today, the theme, as we've heard, is fear not, but it is also meshed in with this idea of fear not because we have been changed. The city has been changed over the last couple of weeks. A lot of orange recently. A lot of orange. We are embracing a season of change. Spring is upon us. We see this amazing life come to emerge from the ground. We smell it. We see it. We even hear it in the animals as we are reminded of a renewing and remade world. Last week, Ryan left us with a prayer after communion, which we do want to come back to and remind ourselves of today, different points. And as we begin today, let me just remind us of how he left us last week. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us, that we have been, what we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen. Butterflies and tadpoles transform. Eggs cracking open to reveal baby birds. Seeds coming through the ground. All great and wonderful mysteries for us to behold. But all have a struggle. And all have a transformation as they morph in front of our eyes from a seed to a plant and from a tadpole to a frog and from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Change happens. We need not fear the change. We are called to live in that change and to be formed in that change. If you take your bulletin and look closely, that is not an organic butterfly, but an origami butterfly on the front. The call is to remember that through the process of folding and forming and creating, our ordinary everyday can become something beautiful, can become something amazing. As we begin today, let us pray. Let us hear the word of God renewed and that renews us and remakes us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Open our ears to hear your word and know your voice. Open our hearts to receive your power, to live with courage and strength, to see your work in our daily lives, that we may serve you today and forevermore. Amen. As we continue our walk through the narrative lectionary, we find ourselves today looking at the stories of the early church. We bookend one with Peter and the other with the beginning mission and ministry of Stephen. We want to hear the theme very loudly today. The theme is the message and the call upon our lives to be changed, to react in faith to the circumstances around us, to serve the world. Now, the passage that we've read today in Peter reminds us not that Peter was this great orator all the time, but Peter came from a place of fear, a place of shame at one time, to be forgiven by Christ, to receive the power at Pentecost, and to become the rock on which the church was built. Stephen, in like ways, does great and miraculous signs for God. And those of us who are reminded of Stephen's story know he becomes the great martyr, standing in faith as those around him persecute him and accuse him of lies. But there, he embraces the message of fear not. He knows his God. Change in all of our lives is hard. There is a plethora of jokes about change for every religious denomination that's out there. Like, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Change! It happens. Change is tough. And the process itself is fear. It creates with us a certain amount of anxiety and fear. And as we read today, there are many who are fearful of the changes that are coming to them or the changes that they are encountering. This passage, the passage that we read through Acts, is are not meant to be read prescriptively. They're not meant to be, in a sense, prescribed to our lives as this is the way the church should look. There are many people who have debunked those myths to say, no, that might be more if we followed that pattern, a model of social gospel or social commune, a commune. These words here remind us that the church at the time is fledgling. It's young. It's like the first day of school, or possibly that first day on the job. No one's got it all figured out yet. There's a lot of reaction and a lot of learning on the job, figuring it out as you go. But in reading the first chapters of Acts, we are reminded that the people of God are formed by that encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that that walk of faith is both informative in the sense that new things are happening every day and they are reflecting on them, but they are deeply rooted in the transformative process of participating in the community and being transformed to see the world around them with new eyes of a new creature that is renewed by the strength of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to suggest that we look at the scripture today as revealing a theme for us of the intent that God calls us to live by, not necessarily a prescriptive function that the church is called to do. This model of deacon that Stephen is and the seven are called to is not a prescriptive that all churches must do this, but we know we have servants and servant-hearted-minded people in the church. We are not called to just copy the exact model of what it was. That's not the intent. The intent is to live, to look, and to love the world which we have been planted in. It is there that the formation of our Christian identity allows us to also engage the culture around us as a community. That is the shift from trying to examine the text as the what of the text and what we are supposed to do, as opposed to the who we are called to be or who we are called to become. The book of Acts has been called a new playground or a new playground for God's people. It is in this unveiling or revealing of God's Holy Spirit and his engagement with God's people that we find new ways of doing things and new ways of being. Under much of the leadership of the time of the Roman occupation of Palestine, the religious leaders of those days, well, they were in control of most of the play time. Regardless of what side you were on, if you will let me extend this analogy, the people of faith were more along the lines of regulated and they had very little flex in their time and in their play, if you will. The older version of this story sees side pitted against sides, the Pharisees pitted against the Sadducees and the Essenes. All of these groups kind of prescribing a way of life for the people of God. The Pharisees were the most legalistic we know about them. Strict codes. Slip up and you'll fall off that tight rope that is God's plan for your life. This apparatus that you keep as a strict code for being faithful. The Holy Spirit comes upon the people of God. Jesus, of course, messes with that idea, but the Holy Spirit loosens a brand new way of thinking. There's no longer a tightrope for the people of God. There is a playground. There is a large venue for us to explore and to see God's amazing wonders in creation and to embrace all forms and shapes of ministry. Yes, there are boundaries. Yes, there are guideposts still and markers to give us guidance in our life. But the game time, the rules have changed, and we are now allowed to discover and live this story not fearful of slipping up and being under this judging law. We are free. We can embrace life. We no longer need to fear the legalism or fear the punishment that comes with the alienation from community. So we are called to start to wrestle with knowing the who we are called to be. And our scripture today allows us to examine both the character and the themes found in the early church. Our scripture lesson today shows a new and empowered Peter, who is bold in his character, and Stephen, who witnesses brightly and bears witness amongst the challenges of his day. Peter, we know as a follower of Christ who once denied, but now, because of the forgiveness of Jesus, is the rock on which Christ will build the church. Stephen, we know only from these few chapters of Acts, but we do know he was the first deacon, the first martyr of the Christian church. Stephen pops up at a time when the church's awkwardness, its youthful awkwardness, is getting in the way. Hebraic Jews are fighting with Hellenistic Jews. No one seeming to understand what is going on. People are being seemingly ignored or avoided or worse, alienated in the early church. The church has reached a critical mass, and no longer can just the disciples deal with these little fires as they pop up or spin these plates as they start to lose momentum. No, they need help. The Jerusalem movement is forced to deal with this rising tension about the concerns about distribution of food. It seems that some need some assistance, and not everyone's aware that their job is important in this. In fact, some people might just see this job as waiting tables, nothing important, not up to what I think my calling of God is. It's below me, if you will. Stephen is one of seven men selected to take care of this relief effort, this attention to those who are poor amongst them. Now, when they mention the Hellenistic Christians amongst them, they are obviously talking about those who are not born of Jewish descent, probably immigrants into this area of some sort, whether recent or maybe within a generation. They have come in, likely converts to Christianity, maybe unfamiliar even with Jewish customs. Stephen, which is in itself a name that is Greek, is a man who is suggesting that there is work to do that is meaningful for all of us. All we need is the right mindset, and we can embrace this. People need not fear, for the community of God is here. We don't know much about the circumstances of how Stephen himself became a Christian, but we do know that he embraced those messages, that his role amongst the people was important. He was a man of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, grace and strength. The other thing we know about him is he wasn't afraid of a fight. He went to the Sanhedrin and spoke boldly. He was brought before the Sanhedrin and spoke boldly. He used his gifts that he had to raise up the church. He was a forceful preacher, but all of that made him a target to the world around him. He became an enemy of the Sanhedrin. And for those of us familiar with the story of Stephen, are reminded that he was called before them to give account for what they called his lies and blasphemy. He was accused, but in that time found strength and courage and bore a faithful witness to God. Those familiar with that sermon know that he warned the leaders to heed the message, to repent and recognize God's mercy in their lives, not fall into the routine that had been so common amongst the people of Israel of ungratefulness and whining and hoping for something other than. Stephen's words had him cast out of the city and stoned to death. Stephen's words cost him his life. And those familiar with the story are also reminded of something else that happened at the stoning of Stephen. There was a man in the midst, a Pharisee, a man named Saul, who will become Paul, who will be transformed himself. My friend Doug Monsma from the Prairie Center for Christian Education wrote, "We are a story-formed people. Our lives are first shaped by narrative, not by information. We don't learn how to live the Christian life by memorizing facts and rules and precepts, morals, and I add hymns or church governance structures. We begin to see our lives as part of a pattern within the larger story of redemption. We long to live a life worthy of that story. The idea of transformation is both individual and communal. We can both embrace the change and remind ourselves that we can do that with the courage that comes from the Holy Spirit. We can participate in habits that form a deep connection to that change." The Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper said this: Wherever one may stand, whatever one may do, to whatever they may apply their hand, in agriculture, in commerce, in industry, or in their mind, in the world of art and science, they are, in whatsoever it may be, constantly standing before the grace and face of God. They are employed in the service of God. One has strictly to obey God, and above all, to aim for the glory of God. We speak this Easter message. We look for the glimpses of Christ, as Ryan has encouraged us. And we see transformation all around after the Easter event. The transformation, of course, of Jesus. The transformation of the disciples from disbelief and fear to faith and courage. And that transformation of the message of God for this point of our history. The focal point of all three of these transformations is the encounter with God. The encounter to change and be changed, to be formed via these acts of symbolism and metaphor and this real history. This experience points us in the direction of grace and a salvation, confirming God's unique presence in the world through the ongoing work of God's Holy Spirit. A presence available to all who believe. We who were once fearful now have the power to face the world. Ryan reminded us of the encounter on the road to Emmaus last week, how people were despondent and afraid. Jesus' presence took them and guided them through the story and revealed to them that the world has now changed. He broke bread and prays with them, and their eyes are open to newness. The disciples' lives are changed. The community of God is changed. We no longer fear death. Jesus has the victory. The disciples understand themselves to be empowered to a new life that Jesus shared through the Holy Spirit. A dramatic change that overtakes us all. No more despair. No more cowardice. We can live in faith and courage. It is my hope today that you know the power of this encounter through the Holy Spirit, that you may be inspired to live in the richness of God's amazing story. And I'd like to leave you with some encouraging words, a story that reminds us that with a little bit of mindset change, we can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. We can embrace the most mundane parts of our lives and see the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a life that God intends for us. A man came across a mason, three masons, who were working at chipping chunks of granite from large blocks. The first seemed unhappy at his job, chipping away and frequently looking at his watch, complaining When the man asked what it was he was doing, the first mason replied, rather curtly, "I'm hammering the stupid rock, and I can't wait till 5 o'clock so I can go home." Second mason, seeming more interested in his work, was hammering diligently, and when asked what it was that he was doing, answered, "Well, I'm molding this block of rock so that it can be used with others to construct a wall. It's not bad work, but I'm sure he'll be glad when it's done." A third mason was hammering at his block, taking time to stand back and admire the work. He chipped off small pieces until he was satisfied that it was the best that he could do. When he was questioned about his work and stopped, he gazed skyward and proudly proclaimed, "I am building a cathedral." Three men, three very different attitudes, all doing the same job. We ourselves can look at life and have various perspectives about the challenges and the obstacles that we face day to day. But let's hear these words again from Ryan from last week as we go out and we are renewed and remade. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew us, and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen.